Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
I do. I do. The power of Almighty God, the same God that flung the stars into space, the same God that created you and me in the womb, that knit us together in our mother's womb, is in this place this morning. I get goosebumps, and that's not because the furnace is turned down. Almighty God is here. Almighty God has been present with us throughout all of history, from the creation of man in the dust of the earth to where you are seated at the Whitby Community Church this morning. And it's amazing, throughout all of history, what things have changed and what has not changed. And it never ceases to amaze me how fast time goes by. Donette and I now have been the core officers of the Whitby Community Church for over 8 years. Yeah, people go, wow. Over 8 years. During this time, so many changes have happened. We have been in the Durham region over 12 years. And it's amazing. Back in those days when we first moved from St. John's to Bowmanville so many years ago, I dealt with my cancer scare. And God walked with me through that. I got a cell phone. And guess what I could do with it? I could make calls. Now my cell phone tells me when to get up, when to go to sleep, even reads the Bible to me. It keeps track of every step that I take. So many changes in technology. So many changes in the world around about us, hasn't it? We've seen that just in the last couple of days, in the last couple of weeks. But then again, some things stay the same. When we moved from St. John's to Bowmanville, I was fat. I'm still fat. And the Leafs still hasn't won the Stanley Cup.
No.
Some things, stay the same. But I look back. I look back and I can't believe time is flying by. Someone said to me this morning, you know, it seems as we get older, time flies back faster, doesn't it? It just zips. And it seems like I just turned around and it went from summer to fall. The tree in our front yard went from green, yeah, exactly, to nothing. And now I got to go out at the lawnmower and I got to rake the leaves because they blow all over the neighborhood. My neighbors don't like that. It's amazing to see how things have changed and things have remained the same. I go into the bathroom in the morning and I look in the mirror and I look at myself. I go, like, when did this happen? I thought just not too long ago I was 19. Well, no. It's gone by so quick. Now, last week, we started a sermon series about chosen. Chosen, you can see it there. And we're looking at God's word today, and we're talking about our identity, asking the basic questions, who we are and why we are here, and whose we are, about our identity. We look at some of Peter's words that he wrote in 1 Peter to encourage a group of young Christians over and over again throughout his letter. The main thing Peter was doing was encouraging Christians and reminding them of their identity, just as he reminds them of the basics of who they are and also who we are and whose we are. And last week, we discussed we are chosen by God. And we are His own. He is not stuck with us. He chose us. We are not our own. We are His. We are His. And continuing today, we just want to start off by looking at 2 Peter chapter 9. And there it says, you are a chosen people. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. Now, as many of you know, I love photography. And doing some photography shoots, I have one light. But it casts a shadow on the other side because it's only lighting this side. So I have to put a reflector on that side in order to get the entire picture. I do believe that you and I are chosen of God to be reflectors. Reflectors. The light comes in. It hits the reflector and it shone all around to enlighten the entire scene. You and I are chosen to be reflectors. Peter says, you are a chosen people, you are royal priests, and our focus today, Peter says, you are a holy nation. You are a holy people. What does that mean to be holy? It means to be set apart. To be set apart. It means to be dedicated to God. Peter was saying that as followers of Christ, you are so different. You are different from the world. You are different from the person that you used to be. Basically, after starting to follow Jesus, you're no longer the same. You're not the same person that you used to be. Instead, you have been changed by God. The moment you start following Jesus, every part of you will change. Your words, your actions, your thoughts, your desires, your priorities, your attitude, your relationships, your life as a whole. As being directed by Christ, becoming more Christ-like on a daily basis, your life will start to change. Peter was reminding them of this change. He was saying, who are you? You are changed. You are holy. You are no longer the same. Instead, you've been changed by God. Okay, so that's powerful stuff, right? And it's awesome. Sounds really nice in church. But maybe you're thinking, well, Ken, I'm really not holy. Just ask my wife. Or just ask my husband. Or just ask my brother or my mom. I'm not holy. And I've been following Jesus for a couple of months now, even a few years now, my whole life now. And let's be honest, I still really haven't changed. I'm still not holy. So I'm a bit skeptical, Ken, what you're saying. I'm just wondering, how does it actually happen? Because I do want to follow Jesus. I do want to be holy. If God says I am, I do want to be holy. And if we're holy, if we're truly changed by God, I've just got to ask, how? How is it possible for us to change? And to this, I just want to highlight two different things from Peter's words, two different truths when it comes to being changed by God. You see, the truth is, it's not about rules. It's about a relationship. I can't be holy by doing this or doing that or keeping that. Or I can't be holy by saying this prayer by doing that. And it's about a relationship. When it comes to being changed by God, it comes down to being holy. It's about relationship and not rules. And just listen to this. One chapter before our main verse for today, Peter said this, "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God chose you to be holy." 1 Peter 1, verse 15. That's a little overwhelming. We got to be holy in everything? Well, that's just impossible, Ken. Come on. And when we hear that, we also often think that being a Christian, we assume that God just wants us to do all the right things. And not to do all the wrong things. So often we turn then the Christian lifestyle into a self-improvement. We turn the Christian life and relationship into some kind of moral code in trying to manage sin, into following a bunch of rules. Well, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I shouldn't look at that. I can't go there. I shouldn't do that. But once again, it's not about rules. It's about a relationship built on love. Peter said, when he said, "You must be holy because I'm holy," what was he saying? And he was saying, is because God is holy, when you're near him, when you chose him, I mean, just by being near to Jesus, being near to God and choosing him, you are able to be. So it's not about the rules, it's about a relationship. The more and more we grow in our love and a relationship with Jesus, and closer we get to him, and more he will begin to change us from the inside out. Have you ever known someone that when you're with them, or when people are around them, they just feel like they want to be a better person, or they, right? You see the joy that they live with, and just by being with them, it gives you joy. Just by being with them, it gives you joy. And when you see how faithfully they love strangers, it makes you want to love complete strangers more. When you see them and how they love and treat their spouse, you want to love and treat your spouse more and better. Just by spending time with them, internally it makes you want to change, to extend more grace yourself. Ever met somebody like that before? Yeah. Just by being around them makes you a better person. And that's what it is with Jesus. Getting to know him. Instead of doing what we want, instead of doing just what feels good for the moment, we begin to follow Jesus. We want to follow his ways. Instead of being critical and being offended by the least little thing, instead of just looking for a reason to have a bad day, our life is filled with joy and a sense of peace because we've got a relationship with the Prince of Peace. I remember, I might have told this story before, but when I was a young pastor in Tisdale, Saskatchewan, there was an elderly lady who was in hospital, and I was doing my visitation in the hospital, and I walked into her. She's a member of our church, but she came out of the Plymouth Brethren tradition of the church. She was attending the Salvation Army in Tisdale. And I walked into her room and I said, called her by name, and how are you doing today, my love? She says, oh, Lef. I was a lieutenant then. Oh, Lef. And here she is in her hospital bed, racked with pain, every illness is, she's going through. And she says, I just wonder what Jesus is trying to teach me today. How many of us would be in that hospital bed complaining about the pain? Can you give me another shot of morphine, nurse? Knock me out. I can't take the pain. Oh, I hate hospital food. But she's just saying, oh, Lef, I wonder what Jesus is trying to teach me today. Wow. A thorough relationship with him had changed her. And because of that, it was changing me as I sat by her bedside. And here it was, the light was on, and she, the reflector, was shining the light of God on my life. Are you reflecting him today? Do you have that kind of relationship with your Lord, with Jesus Christ, with God, that other people can be changed and their attitude can be just by being with you? Where are you today? Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Maybe there's someone here or online for the very first time. Oh, I don't know this Jesus you're talking about. I don't know. I don't have a relationship yet, Ken. Well, today is your day. Because I said before, Almighty God who created you is here, and he's right there with you online. And all you got to do is ask him. All you got to do is ask. And the relationship can begin today, right now. It's about a relationship, not rules. And the closer we get to God, the more we fall in love with him. The more time we spend with him, the more and more he will change us from the inside out. And our heart and our thoughts and our actions and our whole lives can be changed. Do you know that? Do you believe that? We will begin to look more and more like Jesus. But that takes one thing. The old self has got to die. The old self has got to die. When we meet God for the first time, we ask him into our hearts, Jesus into our hearts, as our personal Savior. He comes in. We start that relationship with him. Then the old self has got to die. We can't slip back into those old patterns, those old habits, those old thoughts. We have to totally immerse ourselves in Jesus. It's like when you get into the water of the lake, you want to cool off. You got to be totally immersed. They get the full benefit of the cooling water, and you step out so refreshed. Peter said, you must live as God's obedient children. Do not slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your desires. 1 Peter 1 and 14. Peter says, don't slip back. Don't slip back in your old ways of living. Some people have called that backsliding. Remember the term backsliding? Don't go backsliding. Paul said in one of his letters, he said, my old self has been crucified with Christ, nailed to the cross. Galatians 2 and 20. Basically, my old self, the person I used to be, has been nailed to a cross. The person I was before I knew Jesus, the things I used to do before I knew Jesus, the deeds I used to do before I knew Jesus, it's dead. And in that same verse, Paul went on to say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And we sing that so many times, sometimes glibly. It's no longer I that liveth. That is the crux of the gospel right there. The old self has got to die. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me and through me. And he's changing me every single day. So I can be that perfect reflector and someone else's life can be changed and influenced by the light of God. Sounds intense, doesn't it? And it is. It's intense. This Christian life is intense. It's not something that's airy-fairy and skipping lightly along the way as you go. No, it is intense for the real world, for real people right now. And I ask you this morning, intensely, do you have the guts to do it? Because the old self has got to die. I don't want to be the same person anymore, Ken. I don't like my attitude sometimes. I don't like where I find myself sometimes. I don't like the places where I go sometimes. I got to change. I got to do something in my life. I got to change. I so badly want to change. You see, the nice thing and the most awesome thing is not only nice, but it's absolutely awesome in power and glory. Is when we start following Jesus, when we ask Jesus into our hearts as our personal Savior, it doesn't make us better. Instead, he makes us new. He doesn't make you better. He makes you new. Letting go. Getting rid of the old stuff. Donette and I have started to downsize as we get a little bit older and coming up to retirement. We're downsizing. So we go into garage and we go down to the basement. My God. Goodness, the old stuff we got and hasn't been used in years. Some has got cobwebs on it now. Like, my glory. Send it to the thrift store for crying out loud. Someone will get some use out of it. Purging, getting rid of. When God comes into our lives in the person of Jesus Christ, he doesn't make us better, he makes us new. Basically, crucifying the person we used to be. Making us new. It's like, Jesus, today I'm following you. And anything in my life that is not pleasing to you, help me to leave it behind and help me to kill it. starting in my soul, if there are lies I'm believing or things I'm holding on to, if there are things that I'm doing that I'm convinced are okay, but they're not Jesus, please help me not to be nice, but to kill them. Don't make me nice, Jesus. Make me new. Make me new. Because I'm leaving that person behind, and I want you to make me a giver of your grace. Grace that flowed from the cross of Jesus Christ when he gave his life, dying and bleeding on the cross, which wasn't nice. It wasn't a nice scene at all. It was horrific in every way known to man. But it had to be done so you and I could be new. Could be new. Born again. So, one more time. Who are we? Who are we? We are his. He made you. He knit you together in your mother's womb, as I said last week. He made you. It says in the scripture, he has your name written on the palm of his hand. He knows you. He wants to be in relationship with you. So this morning, this is your moment. It's not about rules. It's about relationship. And sometimes we come to him, Lord, I'm not good enough. I just can't do it. I'm not good enough. That's okay. Neither one of us are good enough. I'm not good enough. You're not good enough. But through God's grace and his righteousness, he makes us who he wants us to be. He makes us over new. Praise God. So we can come before him singing that chorus, just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea. I don't have anything in my resume, Lord, to make you love me more. I don't have anything in my life, Lord, to make you love me more than you do right now. Just as I am, here I am. I come broken. I come wounded. I come desperate. I come empty. You ever feel like that? Just totally empty, drained of everything that you got. Lord, I'm coming to you empty right now. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And here's the kicker. And I'm welcomed. I'm welcomed just as I am. Where are you this morning in that scenario? Where are you? You are his. We want to be born again. We want to be really living to reflect that light onto another's heart. Where are you this morning? I wonder if we could sing that chorus. This is your moment. If you want to have a relationship with Christ this morning, you can do it. You can ask Jesus Christ into your heart this morning. Lord, I know I need a Savior. I need you in my life. Can you forgive me? You can do that right in your chair, in your pew. This is a place of prayer called the Mercy Seat. You can come and kneel and pray here. Jesus can meet you where you are. But everybody God called in Scripture, he called publicly. Maybe you want to come and kneel and pray that prayer. Maybe you want to pray that prayer right in your seat this morning. Maybe you want to pray that prayer over a cup of coffee on your couch this morning as you listen in by the web. But this is your moment. Don't let anybody else take it from you. This is your moment. Just as I am, Lord. Very personal. Not just as he is or she is. No, me. This is between you and me, God. And I need you right now. Time of prayer this morning. Make this your own.